It is a good morning. It's good to be here. It's an amazing day. We have sun and warmth, and we have authority to worship God. We have the desire to obey Him and to love Him, to look to our Savior who died, and because of His blood, we may be saved. It's a great, great day. You know, we have visitors with us today, and we want you to know that you're our honored guests, and we care very much for you. And we desire, if it's possible this day, to be able to bring to you the Word of God. That's what we want. We want to hear God's precious Word. The Scriptures tell us that Jesus had all authority in heaven and earth, and He gave commandments. And we respect that authority, but you know, He also made us stewards over God's Word. We have the right to distribute His Word as it is in His form out to the world so that the world can hear the good news of Christ. We want through our worship to glorify our God and our Father in heaven who through Christ made all things. He made us and He loved us. And He made a way, provision, through the blood of Christ that we might all one day be able to find a home in heaven, eternal. That's why we're here, because of that great, great love that we have. I would like to make one quick announcement. We have Sister Kay Johnston Baugh, and she's come to us and has decided to place her work here, to be a member of this congregation and to do the work that the Lord has called us to do. And we're so happy, Kay, to have you with us. She has with her Riley and Maggie, her grandchildren, and we're really excited to have them there. And Lord willing, we'll all be able to work together for the good of God. You know, this morning in your hearing, you heard a lesson read. And in that lesson, there's really one verse that I want to focus on. By reading the Bible, by following the examples that are set forth in Scripture, we realize that we can be godly people. God has given us His grace. And I want you to understand that grace is that power of God to overcome sin. It's by God's grace that we're saved. That means that sin has been defeated. Jesus died upon the cross. He took our sins upon the cross. And as a result of that, we can overcome sin. That's what God's grace is all about. It's not an ambiguous gift that we have, but it's something we need to run to. Look at Genesis chapter 29 as we read in our 39 as we read in our scripture this morning, and I want you to notice something in verse 12. In verse 12, we get the culmination of what had happened to Joseph as he came into this household as a steward over the master's house. And we know that Potiphar's wife desired Joseph because he was such a handsome man. He was a very good-looking man, the Scripture tells us. And she desired to be with him in bed. And yet in verse 12 it says that at this moment she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and he fled and ran outside. I want you to focus on that term, those terms, fled and ran. Because often when we run away from sin. And often when we run, some people run towards sin. But the one constant about running is that it takes you from some place to some other place. And that's really what running is all about. Running always takes you from some point to some point. And running itself, if you think about it, it demonstrates some kind of eagerness or desire to move quickly. Running is something that helps us along that path to achieve our goal. Today, we will examine just a few examples in Scripture of people who ran. All these things recorded in the inspiration of God. When David wrote in the Psalms, he wrote, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer, for from the end of the earth I will cry to you." He said, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." We know that our rock that is higher than us is Jesus. It's the gospel, the good news, the word of God, which is the power in our lives to overcome sin. And so we need to consider where we're running in our own lives. You know, I said that running always takes you from one place to another, and either you're running towards something that is wrong, or you're running away from something that is wrong. We're either running away to a safe place, from a dangerous place, or some of us, maybe we're running from a safe place to a dangerous place. But you know, I prefer to run from danger. I prefer to get away. This is an image that I think exemplifies that thought. I would be much quicker than this fella. I don't think I'd let those horns get that close. You know, I remember a speech that was given at a graduation ceremony where a young girl got up and she talked about sin. And she said that, you know, sin, a lot of people think sin is something that you want to try and get as close to as you can without getting burnt. And she said, but no, that's not what it's all about. The Lord wants us to run as fast as we can and get away from the sin. And that's what this represents, somebody that's fleeing. They're fleeing. That's what Joseph did. Joseph fled and ran. Also, we think about running in the other sense that we run to safety. And I can't think of anything other than the Lord Himself that a young child or any of us would run to than the safety of our mother's arms, the safety of our father's arms. And we run as Christians to the safety of our father's arms, to the arms of our Lord. And that's where we will be safe, for His arms are mighty. Remember what David said, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." That rock is Christ. And when we are found with that rock, then we have a shelter from the storm. When we run to the Lord, He shelters us from our enemies. Well, that's what David said. Also, we read in Psalm 91 that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. And that's what running is all about. To turn to the Lord and run towards Him, running away from sin and unrighteousness. And that's what we choose to do. It's a good place to run. Moses wrote, "The eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And that's where we want to be. Isn't that the fact that we feel so secure in the everlasting arms of our Lord and Savior? Well, let's talk about running, how it takes us from some point to some point, and take a few examples from Scripture. That first example is running away from sin and evil. That's what Joseph was doing when you look at verse 9. "There is no greater in this house than I, nor is he kept back anything, nor has he kept back anything from me, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wicked and sin against God?" The great wickedness and sin. How is it? Joseph ran from the wickedness. He ran from sin. And he ran away from evil. And whenever you run away from evil, there's only one other direction. When you run away from evil, you're running to righteousness. You're running to the Lord, and that's where we really want to be. Joseph ran. He fled. Now, think about that word fled, because that word means something special. That comes from a Greek term, nous, a Hebrew word, nous. And when I think of that word, the first time I ever read that word, I thought of a noose around the neck. We're running away from that noose around the neck. You know, in the Old West, and they showed the bad guys, and John Wayne would always get them, and they got the noose for stealing horses. They got the noose for robbing the stagecoach. And that's what we're running from. We're fleeing away from temptation and sin. Contrast that with David in 2 Samuel. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And let's see what David did. In 2 Samuel 11, David, he didn't exactly run as he should. In chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab, his servants, with him, with all of Israel, and they destroyed the people of Amnon, besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed, walked to the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. Right here, David should be running. Right? But he didn't. He didn't do what Joseph did. David continued to be consumed by that woman's beauty and by that sin. It tells us that so David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said that, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And so what happens? David eventually has Uriah killed. He sends him off into the most heated battle. He has a relationship with Bathsheba that produces a child. David falls and enters into sin where he should have run like Joseph. Had he paid attention and remembered Joseph, he would have ran from that sin. But sometimes if we're not running from the sin, that means we're running to that sin. Think of this, the Hebrew word nos. It pretty much sounds the same, it's spelt the same as noose. And it means to flee in an absolute way. In Numbers chapter 16, verse 34, that rebellion of Korah and all of Israel was round about. And it says in the 34th verse that they fled. Why did they flee? They fled lest the earth would swallow them up also, because the earth had just swallowed up all those followers of Korah. And so they fled. They ran away from that danger. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 17, we're talking about the promised blessings of God, who said, "If you keep my commandments." But in verse 17, he says, "But if not, I will set my face against you. You shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee, even when no one pursues you." See, the danger of sin, that it envelops us and causes such fear. In verse 36 of that same chapter, the writer tells us that these people would flee just because a leaf in a tree shook. That's how afraid they are. And we can be like that as a people when we have a situation in our life where we're involved with sin. It seems like everywhere you look, you feel as though somebody's watching. Well, they are. God is watching. Remember, He sees us in that secret place. And He sees us and He knows us. Very important to remember these issues of fleeing and running away from sin. It also leans itself towards the word of escape. In Amos 9:1, concerning the destruction of Israel, Amos writes that he who flees from them shall not get away. He who escapes from them shall not be delivered. And when you get yourself involved with sin in this world, you can run and run and run as fast as you can, but you cannot get away from God. And so it's so important to recognize these terms And understand that what Joseph was doing, he was taking flight. He was seeking to get away from sin. And so that's what we see in Joseph. We see that he takes flight. He gets away from sin. In Isaiah chapter 30, the Lord's referring to the people coming out of Israel, that they'll flee even on horseback, but they won't get away because others will be on horseback and they will be swifter. They will be faster. We cannot get away fast enough from sin. Well, Paul tells us to flee when we consider the issues of sexual immorality. He says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does outside the body, that's sin. But the sin, people who commit sexual immorality, they commit sin against their own bodies and against the Lord. These are things that we must heed to. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, Paul tells us to flee from these things. These things are, as he lists them in that chapter, he lists things that we're teaching, things that are other than the words of Christ. Disputes, arguments, arguments over just simple phrases and words, strife, pride, love of money, foolish and harmful lusts. All of these things Paul lists. And he says, flee from these things. And he says, pursue. Now this is a different running. Now we're not running necessarily away from sin, but now we're pursuing righteousness. He says to pursue righteousness, godliness and faith, patience and gentleness. You see, when you flee from one, you're beginning to pursue the other. And so there's a good reason to run, to pursue those things that are righteous, godliness, faith, love, and peace. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, he tells us again to flee youthful lusts. Now, we've looked at some of these things. We need to remember, as Paul talked about his running the race, fighting the good fight, laying hold on eternal life, that's what we're called to do. And we do that by running from evil and pursuing righteousness. So we've looked at some of the running here. Let's consider now who ran. Others that ran for godliness. Let's think here first about a man. This man, his name, he had an unclean spirit. You remember that? A man with an unclean spirit. This man with an unclean spirit, he ran to the Lord. When you study that account in Mark chapter 5, and this Jesus had come off of a boat onto a shore, and he's walking up in the Gennesaret, and he comes to this area where this man, he lives in a cave and he shouts and screams and cuts himself all the time. And they put him in shackles and he breaks them. They put him in arms and he breaks them. He can't be controlled. His name, he was occupied by a demon's name, Legion. And yet this man, when he saw Jesus, it says that he ran to worship him. See, he ran from what even was within him to worship the one and only true living Savior, the Son of God. And what happened? When he ran and worshiped the Lord had the dealings with these demons and he cast the demons out. And what happened? The man was whole again. The people marveled. In fact, they were afraid because it was such an amazing sight. But the point is, the man ran. Even in that odd and strange frame of mind, he had enough within him to run to Jesus. And that's where we need to be running. The great blessing that we have is to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, to be eager to worship God. We think about 1 Chronicles chapter 16 in verse 29, the writer writes, in verse 28, he says, "Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." That's a blessing from God to be able to come to Him, the Creator of all things, the rock that is so much higher than I, and to be able to worship Him through His Son, Jesus, through that precious Word of God that we have. Another avenue of running is that rich young ruler. He came and he ran to Jesus and he wanted to know about eternal life. What must I do to gain eternal life? And that's why he ran. He ran to hear the good news. And what happened? He had a problem. See, he ran to Jesus to hear the words of Jesus. And when Jesus gave him the words, instead of running with Jesus, because of his great riches, his desire for the things in this world, all the things that he had, then he turned the other way. Remember what running does? It takes us from some point to some point. He ran to the right point, but then he turned and ran the other way. I believe that that man in the book of Mark later came to the garden where Jesus was. That's another lesson, but I believe that same man came to Jesus, that he had sold all that he had, given it to the poor, came to Jesus with nothing but a sindon, a wrap around his waist. And that word sindon means expensive wrap. And then he ran again out of fear. He had a problem. He had no rest for his soul. We have to ask ourselves, what must I do? In the book of Acts, in chapter 2 and verse 37, after Peter had given that amazing sermon to all those in Jerusalem, we know what happened. Those people came and they heard. They were the ones guilty of crucifying the Lord, and they asked Jesus and the rest of the brethren, what must we do? And Peter said, repent. And let everyone be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we see these things, we have to understand that we hear those words and we have to just run to them and run with them. Another example is that little man. Remember the little man, Zacchaeus? When we think of Zacchaeus, he was one who sought the Lord. He was looking for the Lord. And he comes into an area where the Lord is coming and all. He's just a short fella and he can't see Jesus. And so he ran and he climbed a tree so that he could see the Lord. That's what he did. He wanted to see the Lord. And he did everything that he could in order to see the Lord. Isaiah wrote, "Seek the Lord while He may be found." That's what Zacchaeus was doing. He knew that had he not climbed that tree, he wouldn't have been able to see the Lord. Although he would have just been lost in the night. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's what Zacchaeus was doing. He wasn't exactly a righteous man in the sense of all the people, and yet he wanted to get up on that tree. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to follow that man. He wanted to follow the Lord. And he was willing to get rid of all the obstacles. That's one of the things we learned from him. He didn't let anything get in his way. He did what he had to do to be able to see the Lord. He ran to righteousness. That's a good lesson to learn. Remove all the barriers. Isaiah, when he said that, let the wicked forsake his way. Not the Lord's way, you forsake your way. Let the unrighteous man eliminate those thoughts. Run to the Word of God, the bread of life. Do what Zacchaeus did. Remove all the barriers in your life. Another person that ran would be Philip. He ran so that he could share the Word of God with another man. Philip ran to teach a lost soul the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. He ran up alongside that chariot in Acts chapter 8. That man was reading out of Isaiah 53, and he wanted to know if he understood what he read. And the man says, how can I understand unless the man explain it to me? And he got in that chariot, and he preached Jesus. Remember? And that chariot running down the road eventually stops. And the eunuch says, there is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip told him, if you believe with all your heart. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they stopped that chariot. They went down into the water. Philip baptized him, and they both ran on their way rejoicing. Good reasons for running. Some will hear, and they'll be convicted. They'll be converted, as in this account of Acts chapter 8. And we are the ones who are taught to teach. That's what Paul tells us. All and the things which you have heard from me and among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Why is this important? The teaching. Because in Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 that we need to take heed to ourselves and to the doctrine. That's the doctrine of Christ, to continue in them. Because in doing this, you'll save both yourself and those who hear you. When we run to the Word of God and we just take this in us and we share that Word with the world, you're saving yourself and those who hear you. It's very important because Paul wants us to win. He wants us to run the race so that we may win. Well, those are the lessons. And when we think about this, I want you to think in terms of what we've learned. What kind of things have we come across here? You know, we've learned that men run to Jesus, and as a result, they're healed. We've learned that men run away from sin, and as a result, they turn towards righteousness. That there's really only two directions to run in this world. When we think about running, think that it always takes you somewhere. Running takes us either towards sin and evil, unrighteousness, ungodliness, eternal damnation, or running can take us towards God, towards love, towards righteousness, towards peace, and towards salvation. It's up to us which way we run. Running away from evil sets you on a course for good. Running away from evil, from unrighteousness, all the sins of the body, the sins of the mind, they take us away from unrighteousness so that we can pursue righteousness. And also, we run to overcome, to avoid obstacles. Remember Zacchaeus. He had to get over those people somehow. And he just ran to that tree. And he climbed that tree. And that's how we know that running towards Christ is running towards our own salvation. We live in a world, sadly, where many people actually run away from Christ. It's very sad. Because many people run away from this Word. In the communion service this morning, Rob made a very good point that we do this because we have authority to do it. We don't do anything we don't have authority for. This is the authority. Paul pleaded with the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 and following. He says that I plead with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you all believe the same things. We live in a world today that believes so many different things. They're running this way and that way, but they're not running to the Word. They're not running to the authority of Christ. And there's no way to believe the same things if this isn't the source of our belief. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how we gain that similarity. That's how I can believe the same things as the brethren here. Because we simply believe every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just this word or that word. Rob mentioned about adding to or taking away. We just believe every word. It's sweetness to us. It's a sweet smelling aroma that gives us grace. It gives us the power to believe the same things, to overcome sin. I'd like you all to take a test. Take a test. When you leave here, take a piece of paper when you get home and write on that piece of paper three simple questions. Write down on that paper how many wise men were at the manger scene in the Bible. One question. Two questions. Where did the star lead those wise men? And the third question, how old was Jesus when they got there? Write those three down. Answer them. And then turn to the inspiration of truth. Turn to the Word of God and see if your answers match these answers. Look at the birth record of Christ in the book of Matthew and so on. And see if what you remember, what you've been taught, what you've learned equals what the Bible says. And if not, run away from whoever's teaching you. Run away from wherever you're getting your knowledge and run to the precious Word of life. That's what the disciples said in Matthew and John chapter 6, verse 63, when Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are the Spirit, and the Spirit gives life." And many of the disciples, they couldn't receive that word. And it says that many of them walked away. They ran away from Jesus. Because they couldn't accept His words. And you know what happened? Jesus turns to the disciples and He says, "Are you going to go too? Are you going to leave? You're going to run?" And they said, "Where will we go? You have the words of life. There's no other place else to go." Paul said that if anyone believes himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. This is life and bread for us. We eat this bread and we learn and we become children of God. If you're with us today and you have not been immersed for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of sin, let me explain this. That we come to faith by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And we confess our faith, as that Ethiopian eunuch did in the book of Acts, chapter 8, and verses 37, and so on. We confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Peter made that same confession. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And with our mouth we make that confession. With our heart we believe unto righteousness. We're on that road, running to salvation. We also repent. Matthew or Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you shall likewise perish." See, God's patience has held for so long, but now God commands every man everywhere to repent. Repentance means to turn away from sin, having a godly sorrow for sin, that we turn away from sin and we're running towards God to the saving of our soul. And we're to be baptized, immersed into Christ. Why do we do that? It isn't because baptism saves us. It's because the Bible tells us that when we're immersed in that water, when we're baptized, that we're put into death. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. As many of us have been baptized into Christ, have been baptized into His death. That's where His blood was shed. That's where we come in contact with the blood of Christ. And that's where our sins are remissed. Because after that contact with Christ in death, then we're raised up by the glory of the Father to walk a newness of life, born again. It all happens that way. We believe. We confess. We repent. And we're baptized according to the commandments of our Lord. and we're saved by the blood of Christ. There is no other way. We need to run away from everything that doesn't align itself with this word and run to those things that do. If we're Christians, we know that we can fall into sin. Every one of us. None of us are perfect. None of us are Jesus. We don't live in this world sinless. I can't be the propitiation for your sin, the sacrifice upon a cross anywhere. He was the only one who could die for me and for you. But we are called to live holy and righteous life. Paul said, be imitators of me as I also imitate Christ. Jesus said, be holy as I am holy. But when we fall and we trip up, and we can, we all fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But when we do fall, we have an advocate, Jesus. He's the between us and the Father advocate. And He can hear us, and He can stand before the Lord on our behalf if we will just repent of our sin. Bring that sin to the Lord. And the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I hope this message has helped. This day, like every Lord's day, the Lord is to be glorified. All that we do, all that we say, is done to the glory of God and our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we only speak the things that we have authority to speak. We only do the things we have authority to do. And everything else we leave to the capable and powerful hands of God. If you have any need this day, I would invite you to come forward. We're going to sing a song of invitation here. And the song is number 604. And it's interesting when you think of this title, I Am Coming, Lord. I Am Coming, Lord. That's somebody that's leaving one place and going to another. He's going to the blood of the Lamb that washes us of our sins. Will you do that this day? As we stand and as we sing.